Everyone's asleep.
Ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. This is a listener-supported broadcast, and so if you have any suggestions of guests, please go to the VinnyEastwoodShow.com or search for Vinny Eastwood on Facebook and send me their contact details. Facebook and Skype and email tend to be the preferable ways of getting in contact with people these days. Speaking of Facebook, one person who has been posting a number of things about police on my Facebook profile has been this lovely man here named Paul Heinrich. Paul, welcome to the program.
Welcome, Vinny.
Well, it's actually you.
Thank you for inviting me.
Okay. Well, yes. Now, if you could, please just give us a little bit of background about who you are and what it is you do, and we'll get straight on into it.
Who am I? I'm just a guy who is trying to fight for justice for myself and my family. And from what I can tell you is that I haven't seen a speck of justice for myself and anyone else who visit me in New Zealand over 6 years period. I was living there, and there was only violence, threats, unlawful incarceration, tortures at the Henderson police station, and just number of things which I'm trying to expose right now, and trying to reach anything that we call justice and understand as justice.
Mm. Now, there's an argument by some saying that if the police commit a crime, you can't blame them for it because it's part of their job.
Maybe in New Zealand, but, you know, it's in common sense, any common sense human being, it's just blowing your mind. How is possible? If you know, if police are criminals, what kind of justification for any punishment of any crime committed by common person they can claim? There is none.
Mm. Well, apart from a false justification, I think. Can you explain your story? What did the police do to you? If anything. Oh,
it's a very long story. Unfortunately, very
We've
dramatic.
Got 2 hours.
Okay. So, basically, from the very beginning, I was mistakenly taken as a bad guy. I was labeled as a bad guy just because someone sent an anonymous letter to New Zealand Immigration and Police Department saying that I'm, that's ridiculous, the part of it, saying that I'm the mafia guy, Polish mafia guy, that I'm drug dealer, and my wife smuggled in her tummy a child in order to obtain residency for us and citizenship for our son. That's part of it is true because my wife was actually pregnant when we arrived to New Zealand. But the letter says that the child was smuggled into New Zealand.
Yeah. Hey, let's get this child into the country. We'll smuggle it in our womb.
Yeah. So, you know, most of the visitors from outside New Zealand, they smuggle drugs. We actually smuggle child. So, and we actually get punishment that is beyond any imagination because, as far as I met people who smuggled drugs into New Zealand, they received very, very lengthy sentences between 2 to 3, maximum 5 years for three, five, sometimes much more than that, kilos of amphetamine or cocaine. And here you have a guy who spent almost 3 years in prison, including Paramaribo, Spring Hill, for basically delivering flowers to my wife. Because yeah, I know it sounds
is
crazy.
Was it because you made all the other guys look bad and the police are like, oh, God, the missus heard about this and she's giving me grief. Let's arrest this guy and put him in prison.
Who knows? Who knows the motives? Actually, I know the motive. I know the motives. But yeah, I know the motives. You know, if I choose to plead guilty to one or two charges, which they charge me with, like delivering 31 roses to my wife, or phone call made by my mother who visited New Zealand for 3 months and because of the police corruption and violence they offered to her, including violently removing her from my own house while I was tortured at the police station, and I have, including the ruling of judge, High Court judge, Too Good, that based on the weight of the evidence, he admit that I was a victim of tortures, not abuse, not beatings, but tortures, because I was held hogtied like a pig, completely naked, cuffed behind me with 3 completes of handcuffs, metal handcuffs, for almost 2 days. And in the meantime, I was very badly beaten, repeatedly. And you know, I'm kind of shaky still when I'm coming back in my memory to all this, what happened at the police station.
The same thing happens to me when I tell people about when the cops first arrested me. Everything comes back to you. You know, the feeling of being here in the cells, how there's no freaking help, how you feel all of a sudden like you... It's almost like being alive but not being alive.
It's exactly as you said. It's just like mentally you know you are alive, but it's like you are almost dead. I was completely hopeless, and there was no help. I was feeling that at any point of time they can come in and just take my life away. You know, someone who take your clothes from you, out of you, and drag you, you know, smash your face and pepper spray you straight to your face. And I was, even report says that I wasn't violent. I wasn't abusive. They just attacked me out of nowhere. You know, the funny thing is that it was one constable who arrived at my house, 42 Albionvale Road in Glen Eden. My mother was upstairs. I was in the garage making cleanup. And I heard a vacuum cleaner running, and he just, you know, come over. And one constable, Michael Fillery, his name is, and he just, you know, grabbed my hand and he said, "You're going with me." I said, "Why? What's going on?" He said, "You're going with me at the to the station." I said, "But why? What's the purpose?" He said, "You are just going with me. Otherwise, I'm going to call the, you know, support, and you're going to have no choice." I said, "Okay, just let me say to my mom, I'm going with you." He said, "No, you're going with me right now." So he took me to the police car. He brought me to the Henderson police station. Right from the beginning, I was smashed by Constable Tamina Hemehema. As far as I know, she was moved as a kind of penalty for torturing me naked. She was moved from the Henderson police station to Helensville. Yeah, to Helensville. So it's a huge penalty for a police officer for such a horrific...
An extra 30-minute drive in her commute...
I think
because she unlawfully assaulted you.
Yeah, perhaps.
You know, when people assault other people, they go to jail in some cases for a number of years.
Yep. You know,
see, this is what I don't like about the police, is because they enforce the laws, they make sure that the laws don't get enforced on themselves.
Yep, that's pretty much everything what they are doing in New Zealand. They're pretty much very busy making sure that not a single cop is ending up charged, or in case if anyone crazy, honest and decent cop is charging another one for crimes he committed, they are just making sure that he will not end up convicted. And as we both know, it's almost impossible to find a cop guilty of any kind of crime, regardless of existing evidence or witnesses.
Yeah. And in fact, there was a police officer who came public not too long ago who said that well over 100 cases, he was an undercover drugs officer, 100 cases where he testified falsely against people who had been arrested and got them put in jail. And
yes. He sent the letter to Chief Justice Elias about it. Yeah.
Is he gone to jail for sending 100 people falsely to jail? No. I mean, I really wouldn't want him to because he's blowing the whistle on it, but still.
I think that
What about his employers who ordered him to lie?
Exactly. No, That's the point. I think the most important issue in this particular example you gave just now is that this guy is a truly valuable whistleblower, because he's exposing the system. He was many times awarded by the judges, high court judges, for his outstanding performance in courts, based on which many people ended up with endless convictions. You know, and yet we both know right now that it's all fraud. So the performance which he was so, it was all fraud. And the judges were very, very grateful. Yeah. And I can bet every single judge, he knew what's going on. Yeah. He knew. But they, you know, their job is not to serve you with justice, as they swear to serve justice. That their job is to, if cop finds you guilty, you are guilty, mate. You're done.
Mm.
You are done.
But luckily, this is all going to be behind us soon, because the new head of the Police Complaints Conduct Authority has had well over 100 complaints against him being violent against innocent members of the public. So naturally, he's probably obviously going to be really, really good at enforcing the law that he breaks so often. Yeah. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. It's the lighter side of genocide. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio. Also, AFR board, if you're listening up, there's something wrong with the feed. It sounds a little overdriven and scratchy. Maybe you could, in the background adjust that, if that's at all possible. I'd really appreciate it. My very special guest is Paul Heinrich, the alleged head of the Polish Mafia. Do you have the appearance of a solidly built Polish mafioso? I mean, I've got to tell you, you know, they've got their profiling down, homeboy.
You know, if we can judge people on looks, I'm guilty.
Yeah. Hey, well, maybe there's a reason why Maldives get picked up by the cops 10 times as much as Pākehā kids, you know? Maybe there's a reason why they're 9 times as likely to be convicted for the same crime as a Pākehā kid. Maybe there's a reason why they comprise 50% of the population in prison and only 14% of the population. Because they racially profile. I actually went up to a cop one time. I was doing a investigation on what cops look for when they look for cannabis users. Without batting an eyelid, he says, groups of males that are under the age of 25. If that's not profiling, I don't know what is.
Interesting.
Very interesting. So, young males out there, if you want to have a smoke with your boys, don't do it together, per se, in a public space where the cops can see that you're young and together, all right? Because they'll try and bust you. I think they want to get us all into the system as early as humanly possible so that they can have a record on us. I don't know precisely what this reasoning process is. It certainly destroys young men's lives. It certainly destroyed mine. I'm not the same man that I was. I developed a certain tics, phobias. My first panic attack happened in the police station. I never had one before, and so it was really, really, really scary that it was happening. And this is the kind of thing that people don't recognise. And people are very, very heartless, aren't they, Paul? They say, oh, well, you know, the police can do no wrong, such and such, and blah, blah, blah. And
Of course. You know, I just have a guy. I don't know whether it is his real name or not. Tom, some kind of Watson, you know, and he's trying to tell me that I'm guilty, that I was a victim of torture. I'm guilty that I was naked at the police station, completely naked. I'm guilty of it. That's my fault. I must have to do something that made them strip me off completely naked, torture me, handcuff me behind, you know, and torture me for 2 days and, you know, leaving me without food, bashing me every few hours, forcing me to sign the papers that I'm going to leave New Zealand voluntarily without, you know, my assets, without my family, without nothing. And I'm guilty of it. He was trying to persuade me that that's my fault. Mate, his argument was that you came to this country. What kind of argument is that?
Yeah. You came to New Zealand and put yourself in the way of our police, therefore it's your fault.
Yep. That's interesting. He said, four months for sending flowers to your wife, 4 months in prison, which I served from day one to day last, you know, entire 4 months I served in total. He said, I'm not joking.
Didn't get time off for good behavior? Didn't you try and argue him down or plea bargain and say, no, they weren't roses, they were pansies?
No. That's an interesting thing. You know, when I left those roses, because it wasn't me who sent those roses, it was actually Fiesta Florist, flower shop. It's a very nice Australian woman, which I was working for well over 1 year, because I was trying to find a job where I can just, you know, get out of me the entire stress and all this situation which I was going through. So I get the newspaper and I saw the advertisement that we need a florist, and I thought, well, that's a beautiful job, you know, for someone who's got through so much stress and coughs on my back. I said, okay, I'm going to the flower shop, you know. So I went there, I got the job. I was the first male who was working as a, you know, florist. and it was great. You know, the smell of the flowers and all this stuff that just make me feel okay, make me feel good. And, you know, one day it was close to my wife's birthday, and as every year I was, trying to make her feel special. And it was her 31st birthday, and I arranged for her to... 31 red roses, beautiful flowers, to be delivered, at her doors, at 42 Elgenbeck Road. It was used to be our family house. Again, unlawfully taken by New Zealand's honest authorities, you know. So, yeah, it was 31 red roses. There was plenty of witnesses, and the judge, Christopher Field, found it impossible to find me guilty and convicted for 4 months for delivering red roses, which, you know, for every reasonable mind on this planet would symbolize love and how much I care for that person. So he found impossible to find me guilty of any kind of crime, so he changed the facts from red roses, which was even including police, the notebooks and entries to the computer, says that the flowers were roses. But the judge struggled, so he changed the roses into white chrysanthemums. And he said that I am guilty of it because white chrysanthemums are symbolizing death in Polish custom. And as such, I made Monika Misiuk, delivering flowers, which symbolize death in Polish custom, feel afraid of me. So I was guilty of it, and he gave me 4 months.
Well, how did they find out you even sent the flowers? Did your wife call the police or something?
No.
How did they find out?
They find out by there was a visitor. Her name is Ivona Marcelska, and she was engaged woman, a very ugly woman, by the way, physically and spiritually, in my opinion. She was engaged with Mr. Jan Panzer. He was convicted for 12 years Polish mafia, head of Polish mafia in New Zealand. He was a New Zealand citizen. He was a pensioner. He served only 5 years because police in New Zealand very like him. So they even applied to the Court of Appeal to have his sentence reduced so he can leave prison after 5.5 years. And he did. And listen to this. If the police didn't apply for his sentence reduced, I wouldn't be speaking here with you. Because only by reason of him being released prior, before he should be released, he was able to mix with my wife. He was able to be introduced to my wife. So without this amazing corruption, because I don't believe it was just his contribution to informational contribution. I don't believe that, because people who supply drugs to him in New Zealand, they are still in Poland, and I'm trying to sort this out right now with Polish authorities. I was speaking recently, it's on my profile, that I was having a meeting with the chief of the Polish prosecution office about Polish mafia in New Zealand, because for six years, Vinny, I was three times put on trial, three times with the psychiatrists and psychologists. You know why? Because I was claiming that there is a Polish mafia in New Zealand, smuggling drugs and selling drugs to the kids, to the Kiwi kids. And I was asked to go through the psychological evaluation, because they were trying to tell me that I'm trying to create non-existing mafia to present myself as not guilty person, as a victim of some kind of conspiracy of criminals that doesn't exist. So when I appear before Judge Christopher Field, complete crook and bastard, I'm sorry for this word, he told me that there is no such thing as Polish mafia in New Zealand. And I said, Your Honor, just one objection. So tell me, if every time drug dealers with whom I'm serving time in Mount Eden are having their bail opposed based on the ground that they are associating with Polish mafia in New Zealand, and on this ground they are often refused bail, so tell me, who is lying here? Prosecutors, Crown prosecutors, who are submitting, as you say, non-existing evidence to oppose bail being granted to these alleged drug dealers, or me, who is claimed that Polish mafia really exists in New Zealand? And the judge rebuked my argument totally. He was actually angry that how I dare to submit such a contradicting evidence. You know, let alone that the same judge ruled that I have no right to be tried before the jury. And I have 350 court appearances in one case. 350. If you remember, we were trying to put this number to the World Guinness record.
See, I've only been to court like twice as a defendant, and that really sucked.
Sucked.
And
sucked. Yeah. And I was there.
It's. I mean, not only
spent 1 year.
Yeah, and not only it's the fact that you're being inconvenienced, there's the particular times, of course, that you can't work during that court day, but also there's something hanging over your head called a possible conviction or possible jail, so you can't really go and move into a new house or start or make a loan from the bank. You can't do anything. Your entire life just basically stops because specifically you're on trial, and if you're innocent, it's even more the worst, because you know that your life is being destroyed for absolutely no reason.
Have you ever read or heard about a book written by the Austrian Jewish writer Franz Kafka, Trial?
No.
You have to read this book. That's New Zealand biography, mate. That's New Zealand biography. This book was, you know, this guy never, I'm sure he never heard about New Zealand, but, you know, for some reason this book is absolutely relevant. Absolutely.
Can I postulate as to why it's relevant?
It's relevant
because scumbaggery is scumbaggery. It's the same thing everywhere you look.
Everywhere,
every country you go to, there exists a system of scumbaggery and certain associated scumbags behind them, which conceal the scumbaggery and commit enough of it to make it really quite not a very nice place to live.
Vinny,
if they come after it, of course.
Of course. But there is a difference between the rest of the world and New Zealand. Of course, I haven't been everywhere. I never live in Asia, you know, just in Russia, far east Russia. I never been in South America. But I know the big part of the world I've been when I was a kid with my parents, or later when I was a businessman and entrepreneur. So I've seen a lot of things, and it's not really easy to make me wonder or you know, shocked or surprised. But believe me, and it's not just my subjective opinion about what I've seen and what I experienced myself in New Zealand. It's I've met people who've been much more through much more hell than I was, believe me. And I know that what I've been through can break quite strong and stand up man. And I met people who were really broken because I know they went through the sexual abuse, for example. And there was no chance for justice for them.
Yeah, that's true. I even interviewed a man on this very show who had a fishing knife inserted by a police officer's closest friend into his anus while they were on a fishing trip, and then when he reported it to the police officer arrested him and then made sexual jokes while he was in the cell.
See, how would you feel? How would you feel? You know, I just wonder what kind of psychopaths, because there must be some kind of profiling. That there must be some kind of...
Well, there is. There is actually a testing process that the police go through. At least I know this is true for Australia and the United States. I would presume that it is the same here.
So tell me why they are choosing psychopaths.
Because psychopaths don't have any empathy. And if you're going to enforce your will on the population that you wish to enslave, having people that have morals, ethics, and empathy are an impediment to your agenda to enslave people.
That's unbelievable.
That's why. This is also the reason why they only allow those who have a lower IQ bracket to be police as well. Because even a more intelligent psychopath would realize that the system is a scam. And this is why so many people leave the New Zealand police, because they're simply disgusted with what it is that they see. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Don't you go anywhere, folks. Gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio. There's a television ad campaign to recruit new police in New Zealand called Get Better Work Stories. You know, like it'll be like somebody sitting in an office and it's really dull or whatever, and they're like shooting at criminals and what have you, and going, ah! And then it just suddenly comes back, and they're just back in the office again, and they're not a cop rushing through anything, and it's just like, get better work stories, become a police officer. And then you get pulled over in the middle of the night by the cops when you're on a domestic purposes benefit and you've got four children, and you get a fine of $700 for not having a warranted and registered car. So it's instead of busting real bad criminals and being a good citizen and what have you, it is shockingly, I wanted to say another word that started with the SH sound, but how they treat people, okay? You know, oh, I busted a really bad criminal. He was a serial rapist and what have you. Get better work stories. It's actually more along the lines of, hey, there was a completely innocent beneficiary that I fined $700 and now they can't feed their kids because I couldn't be bothered actually catching a real criminal who was actually dangerous because I was too afraid to protect ordinary citizens. And instead, I would rather hurt them and destroy their lives by punishing them for not even committing a crime or not even hurting anybody. Now, I'm not saying everybody who's got no warrant, no rego should be let alone or whatever if they're driving around in a dangerous vehicle. Sure, you know. But
human
at the
touch.
End of the day, the people human who touch. Actually deserve to be arrested, who deserve to be convicted, who deserve to have the police's attention are usually the police themselves, unfortunately.
Unfortunately for us, nothing happened to them.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is why I don't believe in what some people have called the effect of karma, where, you know, if you're a good person, nothing bad will happen to you, and if you're a bad person, bad things will happen to you. In my experience, it's the exact opposite. If you're a good person, something bad and evil and horrific will happen to you, most likely. If you are a really bad, evil, scumbaggery person, you'll be living the high life for the rest of your day.
Oh, very often it's exactly that. Very often. It's not like that. I think it's coming from Protestant philosophy that, you know, if you have money, if you have good life, if you enjoy life, you know, based on the material goods, that means you are blessed by God himself, and that means that you are honest, straight, and, you know, and stand-up guy, which we both know is not particularly correct and true. But that's the philosophy which was brought up by Protestants from religion, that if you have money, you're blessed. If you don't have money, that means you are a scumbag. You're a criminal.
Which is probably because the heads of the Protestant church were rich scumbags and criminals.
Perhaps. Coming back to the, you know, you started with saying that I'm posting a lot of my photo compilations about information and police corruption. Of course, I'm focused on the police corruption because I'm, you know, I just feel that I feel kind of mission inside of me that if I was allowed to go through what I've been through and I survive, I think I'm quite okay. Actually, my family is really surprised that I'm not kind of, you know, broken fellow, you know, sad every day and you know, trying to catch every day to survive. I actually manage quite well, thanks to my friends and family and, you know, thank goodness. But as I said before, I met a lot of people who were really, really badly treated. I met a guy who went to New Zealand from Uruguay via Australia, and he ended up in prison despite me arranging for him a wedding in Mount Eden prison. This guy's name was Julio Paternostro, and his wife was Maori, actually, very beautiful woman. He had daughter and son with her, and imagine that with Vinny. She also had a son from previous relationship with a Punjabi fellow, and they have a son, Bupinder, and this Bupinder was adopted by Julio as his rightful son. But immigration, this completely inhumane people, these barbarians, Gestapo, Nazi, fascists, they completely refuse to recognize marriage, that's first. They completely refuse to recognize unity of the family. More, the guy who we arranged to come to the prison and to bless this wedding and to swear affidavit later in the court, in the family section, that he was witnessing and he's a register, you know, the priest or pastor, and he witnessed civil union or whatever it was, or marriage. So the papers were straight. Everything was done according to the rules and law. Yet immigration put him in prison, and they keep him in prison regardless. And they destroyed the second relationship of this woman, and she was a Maori woman. It is her land, it was her family, and it was her second husband of choice, which was taken away from New Zealand, from his children, from his wife, from his family, and from the son he adopted. And he really loved him. I know he loved him. The son was sending him postcards, letters. You know, he couldn't understand why daddy disappeared. I helped him because my English, written English, was much better than his. So I helped him to write the letters to immigration. These people completely don't care. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Europe is different. I saw the police smashing people for whatever reason at the street. Vinny, if something like that, what I have seen myself, would happen at the street in Poland or Germany or France, the cops would be lynched. For something like that, the cops would be lynched at the street. Nobody would care that he's in uniform or he's a sergeant or detective. If he was doing what I was seeing doing to the woman or children, they would be lynched. And yet in New Zealand, they could smash whatever person, woman, child, at the street, and people will turn away because it's police, because they are afraid.
Well, you know, I actually am afraid of police, and for good reason. You know, every time I see a cop car, it's and like, even if I'm doing nothing wrong, every time I see police, I get afraid. I am definitely afraid of them.
I'm not surprised.
Which is ironic in my position as often the man with the megaphone or the camera, because every time I go to a protest, guess who walks right up to me and starts bossing me around? You know? I've had to deal with that fear. I mean, sure, they're up on me. I'm scared Shiite Muslimless, but I still maintain my cool, and I still do not ever. And this is another important point to anybody who's ever being accosted by the police. Do not ever turn off your recording device.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Video does not freaking lie. Only police do.
And they're professionals.
Try and try to do it.
Mm-hmm. And they're professionals.
Yeah. So that way, if you are doing nothing wrong, which is probably the reason why the police are talking to you in the first place, then you've got a video recording of them harassing you, beating you up or something, when you've done nothing wrong. And they always tell you to turn off the cameras. Even if they're not planning to screw you over or beat you up or anything like that, they always tell you to turn off the cameras. Never, ever, ever
turn off those cameras.
All right,
yes.
And it's the same when you're talking. It's the same when you're talking with lawyers as well, particularly Crown lawyers. Always record every single conversation with anybody who enforces or is involved with law. All right, because that is where the vast majority of evidence and documentation is missing. Okay, in New Zealand, we don't even have a law mandating that court proceedings be recorded. It's a public record. A court of record without a record, okay? And there's a reason for that, is so that any corrupt judgments and what have you can't be exposed.
Yep. That's exactly true. There was a recent case where one of the rulings made in the High Court was done by a completely crazy judge. His name is... I just forgotten. Dobson. Yeah, Dobson. This fellow, is it break?
Yeah, it was soon. We've got about 40 seconds. If you can finish your story of Dobson.
I'm gonna have to come back to it because it's
all right. All right, so we'll come back to that. The judge named Dobson. So we're going to get some information on that. We're going to dob in Dobson after the break, ladies and gentlemen, on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Don't you go anywhere, folks. Hope you enjoy the new advertisings and little comedy sketches and philosophy that we've had added into the break schedule to mix things up a little bit. So if you're always listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on YouTube or the commercial-free archives, go find those commercial contained archives of especially the recent episodes, because there's quite a lot of new material in there as well. We'll be right back, folks.